Now, the 262 was much faster than the P-51, and they were attacked over Berlin, but our pilots shot down three of them, and they reported damage several of them. So we came out best on that. Yeah. They were faster than we were, but our planes were more maneuverable.
I think you'd have to understand, by that time, most of the senior German pilots had been lost, and so their tactics and effort with a new aircraft allowed conventional aircraft to take a toll on them.
Right. How were you received when you came home from combat, when you came back to the States?
Not very well in one way, but they allowed us a week of rest camp. And my assignment coming home in November, and of course a few days at home, but this is December of 44, the rest camp was a hotel on the East Coast, and the folks tell us that there was another airman there at the time I was, and we're the first blacks to ever sleep in a bed in that hotel.
Yeah.
But there wasn't... in travel, you still had to check where you could get the food and where you might be able to bunk for the night for a long time.
So nothing had changed?
Things hadn't changed. It takes time for change to take place.
Well, I came back in August 1945, and I was assigned back to Tuskegee. Once you got back there, nothing had changed. Same as when you left. Off the base, segregation just as bad as it was before you went. So really, no change in this.
Let's step forward to Korea. Charles, you flew what in Korea?
I flew
Charles, excuse me, yes.
To the P-51 again, but the D model. In Europe, I'd flown the B and C of the 51, like the planes, this is the C behind us. But met Chappie James again. I was assigned to the Philippines in base operations. War broke out. They grabbed 51 pilots wherever because our jets weren't in place. The 18th Fighter Group there in the Philippines had just switched over to the F-80, the first jet, the Shooting Star, and had given their 51s to the Philippine Air Force. But there were plenty of 51s on the ground in Japan that hadn't been destroyed or shipped back to the States. Chappie was ending a tour in Philippines, and I was just getting there. He was in the 12th squadron that went up, and I was in the 67th. We left the Philippines, went up to Japan, picked up 51s, and my last flight in the war was, as I say, the November 44. August 1950, I'm going down the runway loaded in Japan, and we flew missions out of Japan while they built the first strip inside the Pusan perimeter.
What were your missions? What were you doing?
Those early missions, we carried napalm, rockets, bombs, whatever. It was interdiction and ground support to push the North Koreans back north. And during that fight, I've actually flown out of Pyongyang Airport. We were within 40 miles of the Yalu River when the Chinese came in the war.
Wow. George, what did you fly in Korea?
I got out of the service in 46 and went to NYU for 1 year. I wanted to be an engineer. But then I was recalled in June of 1948. But I will say one thing is that the Air Force was created as a new service in September 1947. Well, I agreed to go back into the service in January of 48. But in April of 48, the Air Force publicly announced, 7 months old, that they're going to do away with racial segregation in their assignments. It caught the Army and Navy by surprise and a lot of people. And President Truman then, 3 months later, signed the executive order.
You flew the B-29, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but what happened was, this is 48, I went back into the service, and I went to Lockburn. But I wanted to do something besides fly, so I applied for electronics, armored electronics maintenance school, radar on aircraft. I really wanted to go into all-weather fighters. So I started that in September 1948. But the Air Force, they started integration in 49. President Truman signed the executive order in 48. And those he asked the Army, Navy, and Air Force to submit their plans for racial integration. And they were received in the beginning of 1949 by DOD. And they approved Air Force and Navy in May of 49. They disapproved the Army. They had to resubmit theirs in 1950. But the Air Force was ready for integration. They received approval in May. By the end of June, the Air Force deactivated the Black Air Force at Lockburn. And within a matter of weeks, the hundreds of people received orders to Air Force bases all around the world.
And how did that affect you?
What it affected me was I started school in September 48 at Keesler Electronics. I graduated in August of 49. I wanted to go to all-weather fighters, the electronics. Instead, they shipped me to a B-29 outfit on Guam, now a four-engine bomber.
So how disappointed were you?
Well, I became a maintenance officer in the 28th Bomb Squadron. But as a pilot, I also checked out in the B-29.
Right.
And in 1950, I was put on as a co-pilot on a regular flight crew. And I ended up flying 45 missions over Korea. Yeah. But not without incident. Although racial integration took place in 49, there were a lot of people in the service who didn't agree with it. And in May 1950, I got a new squadron commander, Lieutenant Colonel Fred W. Miller. He wouldn't speak to me except in the line of duty. Well, we moved to Okinawa and started flying missions. Our crew flew our first mission on the 30th of June, 1950, up over Korea. In fact, it was a high-altitude bomber, but those first missions were flown under 10,000 feet. Mm. We had 500-pound bombs to knock out. The North Koreans were coming south through the mountains, and we would have bomb all bridges or anything in the mountains to keep them from coming south. But eventually, it went up to high altitude. But on a seventh mission on the 12th of July, I was in a cockpit going through checklists for a mission, and I heard this voice say, "Hardy, get down out of the airplane." I wonder who talked to me like that. Mm-hmm. It was my squadron commander. He replaced me on that mission. That was the first B-29 shot down over Korea by Korean fighters. My crew was shot down, and I wasn't with them. Mm-hmm. But that's the way things were in those days.
No. Charles, you want to chime in on that?
Well, no, that's a story that many things that happened. As we moved north, when the Chinese came in, we were already had almost conquered North Korea, but backed up. My insight on that is World War II, we declared war, we provided what it took to win the war. Korea, we fired a general because he wanted to win the war. But no, you cannot cross the Yalu River. That allowed the Chinese to come in. Still got a divided Korea. Vietnam and others somewhat similar. And I just tell folks, when you're using military power for political purposes and talk about winnings, I'd say you can't because politics is a compromise. So there's no win. And unfortunately, we're still faced with that. The tragedy to me is the hundreds of American lives getting lost, but we are preserving the freedoms that we enjoy here at home.
You became, you became a squadron commander, and you were at Clark Field, right, Manila?
Yes. When I finished my 100 missions in Korea, I, as I say, got called up there right after getting overseas. They had stopped family travel. It had been reopened. I said, I want to go back to the Philippines and enjoy my overseas tour. But it was a great decision for my interest in aviation because I got my first jet flying in that F-80 there. The 44th Fighter Bomber Squadron had stayed in the Philippines, air defense, and coming back with my combat experience, and I had received a spot promotion to major while in Korea, and that was confirmed, I became commander of the 44th Fighter Bomber Squadron. So here I am flying a jet for the first time, and for 2 years, what a wonderful experience as we defended the Philippine Islands.
What was it like to go into a jet?
Oh, my goodness. To me, that first jet, even with 100% power, you could hold it on the ground with the brakes. But to be able to go to 100%, let go, and be up at 20,000 feet in a couple minutes,
wow.
What a great experience that was. But we were still doing air defense work for the Philippine Islands.
How were you treated as a Black Squadron commander by all the white pilots?
Not a problem overseas, for some reason. I ended up later other commands, but overseas, that type of experience, well, I'll put it this way. They closed Lockburn Air Base as 332nd Fighter Wing. B.O. Davis was the commander, as we say, late June, 1st of July in 44. I became commander of Richards Gabar Air Base in the 1840th Wing in June of 72. To me, that was the first, that level of assignment in the States from the closing of segregation and over those years. Fortunately, after that, it was like doors opening up. Many opportunities came, but that's why I said earlier, change comes about slowly. But I'm just happy all the way, and I'm lucky enough to have actively flown 27 of my 30 years.